spend just a brief moment, well, more than a brief moment, but it won't be as long as normal, but it's always helpful and it's encouraging to see God at work in His church and the lives of His people. And so Brent's down here with Brooke and Ellie and Oakley, and they're not quite in the spitting zone that will come with time in the front row, but they're down front because we're going to have a special time just spending around the Word of God, celebrating what the Lord's doing in Brent's life and certainly through his family's life. Now, I assume most of you know, Brent's actually been a deacon in training since last May of 2020. He will be our COVID deacon, is what we'll always know him as. But he's literally met with our deacons on Sunday morning faithfully for over a year now. He approached me sometime last spring, and we took some time, questioned him, held his life up against Scripture, the qualifications we're going to look at tonight. And he's been spending some time with us on Sunday mornings, seeing what occurs here at Pine Grove Baptist Church, what our group of men that meet are all about. And he's been faithful to do that. He's been serving the church as he's been meeting with us. I'm sure you will see Brent doing many things around the church. And so tonight we come together, we call it an ordination service. But in a sense, Brent's already been ordained by the Lord. He's proven himself faithful in the year he's been with us and even beyond a year in his life. And so as we gather tonight, we're just affirming what the Lord's doing. We're gathering together to say we're grateful that the Lord is raising up leaders here at Pine Grove Baptist Church. A lot of people misunderstand ordination. Ordination is not me as a pastor, in a sense, giving authority to Brent. It's not us as a group of deacons giving authority to Brent. That's not what ordination is about. I have no authority in my life unless the Lord has given it to me. From his word and in his word, the other deacons have no authority as well to give to Brent. So ordination tonight is us simply affirming what the Lord is doing in his life and the desires of his heart to serve the church here at Pine Grove. We're not going to put a stamp on his head. We're not going to affirm all those things in some kind of special ceremony. We're simply going to recognize tonight what the Lord is doing in Brent's life and in the life of his family. Now, ordination is always a joyous time. It should be tonight. We're going to eat afterwards anytime we get together. We're going to celebrate and eat, and I'm looking forward to that. I know you are too. But it's also a time where we see the Lord sending biblically qualified men to lead his church. Biblically qualified men to lead his church, to shepherd his flock. And that's an important milestone in the life of any church. Now, though Brent has responsibilities, and we'll talk about them tonight, he's heard this already many times, there's also responsibilities of the church tonight in terms of this ordination service and their response to Brent, their support of Brent, their prayer for Brent. And so we're going to spend some time looking at that. And I want you to understand, I can't ordain anyone, and neither can this group of deacons, unless the Lord's already called them, right? That's definitely a part of this ordination. We can simply affirm what God has done. And so this is not a service to display the power of the pastor, the power of the other deacons. It's a service to display the power of God at work in the life of someone here at Pine Grove. And that's a good thing, right? This is what we want God doing, working in lives and setting people apart to serve him. So as you see Brent down here in the second row, you're not looking at someone who has extraordinary spiritual powers, right? He's not a superhero for the church in some sense. What you see is a man that God has selected and called to lead his church and to shepherd the flock at Pine Grove Baptist Church. He isn't in any sense different than any of us who are saved. The same gospel saved him. The same Holy Spirit resides in him as it does in any believer. He simply has a desire to serve in an official capacity here at Pine Grove. And as we'll see in a moment, that is a good desire. And so what I want to do tonight, I must have mangled the outline somehow, but it's up there. But more importantly, I want you and I want us to just take a few minutes to look at a few passages in Scripture to get us started. And then when I finish giving you an overview of this, we're going to call Brent up and any ordained man here that's been ordained in the church is going to come up, and I'm going to lead us in a prayer as we put our hands on Brent, for the Lord to guide him and to allow him to serve as a deacon here at Pine Grove. Now, Let's go to a passage that really is in the forefront of our mind. Take your Bibles, go to 1 Timothy. That's no shock. We're going to get to this passage very quickly on Sunday mornings. It's going to be a great time for us. It's a very familiar passage to your deacons. We frequently, twice a year, maybe more than that, open up. After we open up deacons meeting, talking about needs in the flock, we always and frequently go to this passage to remind the men that serve of the responsibilities and the qualifications to serve in leadership in any church, to serve as a deacon, as an elder. And so I'm going to read a long section here. Just follow along. Again, we'll get here on Sunday mornings. Not going to spend a lot of time here. But here's a big overview. 1 Timothy 3, I'll read from verse 1 down to verse 12. And so 1 Timothy 3, verse 1, it is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work he desires to do. An overseer, then, must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not addicted to wine or pugnacious, but gentle, peaceable, free from the love of money. He must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. But if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? And not a new convert, so that he will not become conceited and fall into the condemnation incurred by the devil. And he must have a good reputation with those outside the church, so that he will not fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. Deacons, likewise, must be men of dignity, not double-tongued, or addicted to much wine, or fond of sordid gain, but holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. These men must also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons if they are beyond reproach. Women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. Deacons must be the husbands of only one wife and good managers of their children and their own households. And let me read verse 13. I'll circle back here in just a minute. Verse 13, for those who have served well as deacons, obtain for themselves a high standing and great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. Now, the reason I read all 13 verses to us, though those apply to two different offices within the church, one of overseer, another word for overseer is elder, pastor, bishop, kind of all interchangeable terms in the New Testament. And then another section deals specifically with deacons. But the reason I read all those verses is that we have kind of a unique combination of that at Pine Grove Baptist Church. Y'all have been here. We changed our bylaws to reflect more accurately what's presented in Scripture. And so we have a combination of deacons and elders that kind of serve here. They carry the title of deacon. That's a title that we have preserved. But as we look at these qualifications, we have in our bylaws, deacons must meet the standards of a deacon. The verses 8 to 12 of 1 Timothy 3. And so the reason we do that is because our deacons, and a deacon in Scripture is only a servant. A deacon is someone who serves, who does not hold authority, who does not make decisions that affect the body of Christ, but he's just a servant. Deacons, according to Scripture, are just that. Elders, on the other hand, have authority. They make decisions. God has given them authority over the church to shepherd the body of Christ, to resolve issues, to protect the flock. And so here at Pine Grove, we have a combination of that. It's always been kind of the case. In most Baptist churches, the people that hold the authority are called deacons. The better word is an elder, according to Scripture. And so we amended our bylaws some time back just to address that need. We call our men deacons, but we recognize that they do hold authority. They function like an elder because they have authority over the body of Christ. And I can assure you, looking at Scripture, and we're going to spend a lot of time on this in case you have questions, we're going to see this as we go through it on Sunday mornings. That's the best model of church leadership. Multiple elders leading a church. I've been in churches with a single elder who's the pastor and a group of deacons around him. And that can be a dangerous situation to put everything under that single elder. I don't think it's the best model according to Scripture. And we don't have that here. The men that I meet with that serve this church are equals to me. I treat them as elder-qualified men because they have authority. They make decisions. They do everything that an elder would do if they were called elders. And so, but as we look at this, the qualifications, again, are very similar. The qualifications for an elder and a deacon are almost identical with one notable exception. The elder should have the ability to teach. And so that sets an elder apart a little bit, besides the fact that he holds authority. But our men here, they not only hold authority, they do serve. And so we don't call ourselves elders and refuse to serve. And I would encourage and let you know, an elder should also be willing to serve. He's not above serving. But as we think about our situation here, one thing I want to point out from these verses is verse 1 of chapter 3. Though it is addressed to elders, I want you to look at verse 1. And Brent, we've talked about this. The men understand this. But look at verse 1 of 1 Timothy 3. It is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work he desires to do. To lead the church is a fine work. It is a fine desire. In a man's heart, to have a desire to shepherd the flock of God. It's a fine work that he desires to do. Now, understand that doesn't raise you up over the congregation. When you decide to serve the Lord in his church, it actually puts you under the congregation, right? You're the shepherd of souls. You're the protector of the sheep. You are a servant at heart, though you have authority and make decisions. And let me assure you, God needs qualified men serving and protecting his church and his people. It's a necessity, especially in the day and age in which we live. It's always been a necessity because God said it was a necessity. And so I'll let you know, it's a fine work you're desiring to do. Very encourage your family. Our church should be encouraged that any man would step forward and say, you know what, I want to serve the body of Christ in this way. It is a fine work to desire to do that. Now, number two, I'm not going to go through every qualification. We've talked about these at length in deacon's meetings. You understand these qualifications. As we look at these qualifications, we're going to spend a lot of time in them on Sunday mornings going through each qualification. I've done past messages here where we've addressed every qualification. They're laid out here, and you can look at them. But what I want you to understand, church, and what I want you to understand, Brent, and you do understand this, these are God's qualifications. These aren't the design of the deacons that presently serve. These don't come down from the Southern Baptist Convention. To lead the Lord's church, to serve the Lord's church, you have to be qualified according to the Lord's standards. It's very, very important. I can tell you in this day and age, looking at the church around us, churches don't pay attention to 1 Timothy 3. And they don't bring honor to God when they don't. Because these are God's qualifications for men who serve the body of Christ. Now, I'm not the qualifications cop. I won't be looking over your shoulder. I won't be looking over your shoulder, you know, looking for the slightest slip up in your life. I don't think this church will be looking over your shoulder. We're not people that are looking to trip you up. And if we are, we shouldn't be that way. But I will say, we desire you to stay qualified. We want you to remain qualified so that you can serve the body of Christ. That is our desire as a group of deacons around you. That is the desire of this church. We pray that God will keep you qualified. That's important. In fact, it's of utmost importance if you serve the church well. And so I have to say this, and I would say this to any man. In fact, the last three men we ordained, I said it to them. I say this to myself. I've said it to the deacons. If a man does become unqualified according to Scripture, he must remove himself from office, or he must be removed from office. God does not take that lightly. And I think Britt understands that. Now, that doesn't mean we will abandon you. No church should abandon someone who becomes disqualified. That doesn't mean we will ridicule you. We're not going to do that. We desire you to be qualified. If you become unqualified, we're going to love on you, encourage you to repentance, and pray for your restoration. Because ultimately at Pine Grove Baptist Church, God's word must rule the day. Right, church? It must. If we don't do that, then we have no integrity as a church. And so we will pray for you to stay qualified. We desire you to be qualified. We've acknowledged your qualifications. The men around me acknowledge your qualifications. And we pray that is always the case as long as you serve the Lord here at Pine Grove. And then one more thing I would say to you in terms of what we see in 1 Timothy 3, serve well. Look at verse 13. It kind of finishes off this little section. For those who have served well as deacons, obtain for themselves a high standing and great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. Look, don't serve to get a high standing. In fact, if you came to me and I thought, or the deacons thought that you were looking for a high standing, we would have never affirmed you. So we don't serve to get a high standing, but understand if you serve well, you will have a high standing from the Lord. You will have greater confidence in Christ and the gospel. And understand, and what should certainly guard your heart and mind, you cannot serve if it were not for the grace of God. All right, God's grace is essential in your service. As He has qualified you, He will keep you qualified. So serve well. Stay humble and serve well, and your confidence in God will only grow. Now, very quickly, take your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. We've looked at the book of 1 Peter on Sunday nights. 1 Peter chapter 5, the last chapter in Peter's first letter. And so there's a responsibility, first of all, for you to be and stay qualified on the outline behind me. But second of all, the deacon is responsible to lead well. The leader in the church, the elder, the deacon, he's responsible to lead well. 1 Peter 5, look at verse 1. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. And so, Brent, I want to remind you of some qualities of godly leadership. Number one, you see it right there in the text, verse 2, you are a shepherd to the flock at Pine Grove. You're a shepherd. You are someone who is called to protect the flock. You're someone who's called to lead by example the flock. You care for the sheep when they're sick. You care for the sheep when they're threatened by wolves. Number two, you gain the respect of the flock, not by force. It's not under compulsion, but by example. Shepherds gain the trust of the sheep by leading well. A shepherd gains the trust of the sheep by leading them to green pastures and quiet waters. That's how you earn the trust of the flock. People will not follow a church leader who is not following the Lord, nor should they. So we lead by example. And I would also warn you, as I warned myself and I warned the other deacons, if you show anger to people, people will be angry with you. If you show lack of concern for people, they won't be concerned about you. If you show people impatience, they will be impatient with you. On the other hand, if you love people, they'll love you. If you pray for your people, they will pray for you. I had a wise seminary professor. It still rings in my ears today, many, many years after seminary. He told me, show grace to the flock because you will need grace from the flock. And he's absolutely right. You will not be perfect as you serve the Lord. So you need grace. That's why we show grace and extend grace to people under our care. And the third thing I want you to see in these verses is this, serve the Lord with eagerness. It's a very important word in that text I just read, serve the Lord with eagerness. You don't serve in order to gain. You don't serve in order to get rich. You serve with eagerness because there's no greater joy in the world than serving the Lord's church. No greater joy. If you do it well, it will be an incredible source of joy in your life. I'm a joyous man. Does everything in my life make me happy? Not necessarily. But there's joy in my life because the Lord has saw fit to enable me to serve His people. There's no greater joy than serving the Lord's people, and we don't do it for recognition. If you come in and you're deciding to serve because you want to get rich or famous, look for something else. It won't happen here. It won't happen in any church, and nor should it. Right? We serve on the lowest level of the ship, pulling the oars at the bottom, keeping the church going. So what Peter says right here applies. If you want money and fame, you won't find it. But if you want a crown of glory, you'll find it in serving the church. The money and fame will come, they're temporary, and they will go. But a crown of glory will never fade. And so many men often enter leadership to gain fame, to gain popularity. And what happens is when they don't find the fame and popularity, they leave. Don't be a leader like that. Serve the church with eagerness. Serve them as well in your first year as you do in your 10th year. Serve them as well in your 20th year as you do in your 10th year. Always be eager to serve the church and to serve the Lord's people. One more passage I want us to read, and then we're going to call you up and pray over you. Hebrews 13:17. So those are your responsibilities, Brent, unto the Lord. You are to stay qualified. You are to obviously be qualified. You wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be ordaining you if you weren't qualified. And there's certainly a call in your life to lead the church well. But there's also a responsibility on the church. And so let me talk to Pine Grove for a minute at large. Look at verse 17 of Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13:17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. And so, church, you have a responsibility tonight as we ordain another leader in the church. Your responsibility, you see in verse 17, first of all, is to obey and submit to your leaders. Now, those are bad words in our culture. They might not even sit well in your heart tonight. But those aren't the bylaws of Pine Grove Baptist Church. That is God's word. And he calls the flock to submit to godly leadership. In fact, God calls us to submit to all sorts of institutions and things in life. We submit to government. We submit to one another. We submit to our bosses. And there's certainly an obligation as a believer to submit to church leadership. The only exception is when the people you are submitting to push you to sin or prevent you from obeying. In that case, you don't have to submit to them. But as long as the leadership over you is leading a godly life, you are to follow their godly example and follow their lead. Now, the sad thing is, I don't expect the world to submit to anyone, but it is sad in the church when people in the church can't submit to godly leadership. We don't have that problem here. Very rarely have I ever seen that here. I'm grateful in my heart for that. Not every church is that way, for sure. Very blessed here to see that. But it's reminding our hearts to submit to leadership, all of our hearts. And the reason for that is because God has given them authority. The authority they have is from God. And so when you submit to leadership, you are submitting to God. If you refuse to submit to leadership, you're refusing to submit to God. Same thing in parenting. You've heard me say it many times. I tell my children, if you don't submit to your parents, you're not submitting to God. If you submit to your parents, you're submitting to the Lord. The same would apply in the church. Now, clearly, these men, your deacons, your leaders cannot call for you to do sinful things or ungodly things. We would never submit to leadership like that. But otherwise, we submit willingly and joyfully to the leaders over us. A second responsibility of the church, and note this, what it says also in Hebrews 13:17, right? Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. And then the second part, let them do this, that would be serve the church, let your leaders serve the church with joy and not with grief. A second responsibility of the church is to make the service of a deacon or an elder a joyous experience. It should be a joyous experience. The church should not make their jobs, their roles, a source of grief in their life, but a source of joy. I've been in churches, that wasn't the case. Everybody's always trying to start trouble. The deacon immediately gets a target on his back. The pastor gets a target on their back. And they become a source of grief, these people in the church. And yet, the Bible's clear. We are to make those who serve over us be filled with joy in their service. We're not to be a source of grief in their lives. Many church members look for a speck of dust, and they forget the log in their own eye at times. But the call here is to make serving the Lord and His church a joyous experience. And then there's one more responsibility I want to note for the church tonight. Above all, pray for the men who lead the church. We talked about prayer this morning, the need to pray for the salvation of all sorts of men. Leaders in your church should be saved men, but you should pray for them to stay qualified. You should pray for them to serve well. You should pray for them to serve with joy. You should pray for wisdom. You should pray for Brent Shumpert beginning tonight as he sets out to serve the church. And you should pray for your pastor and for the other deacons who are serving. Take their names before the Lord regularly. Pray for them by name. And look, If they make a mistake, pray for the Lord to correct them. He will. The other men around them should as well. And pray for these men constantly. They keep watch over your souls. And that's an incredible responsibility, an incredible privilege, but it brings a lot of weight into their lives. Above all, church, support your leadership. The world needs more faithful men. And there's a lot of men today who are not qualified, and there's even more who have fallen from qualifications. And so when you have men that are qualified in serving the church well, support those men, make their lives joyous as they serve the church. Now, Brent, it's a new record. I think that was only 30 minutes. I'm going to call you up, and I want to invite any man that's been ordained to come up as well. Doesn't matter if you're here at Pine Grove. If you've been ordained and you're a member in good standing and you are still qualified according to Scripture, I want to invite y'all up. Brent's going to come up here and kneel. I don't know if Brooke and the kids want to come. They can if they're able to. I was worried about managing your household well there for a while. But no, I'm just kidding. You're doing great. But if y'all want to come up and kneel here, those men are going to gather around you. So y'all come on down. And me and y'all come up. We're going to put hands on Brent. I'm going to pray from up here, and we're going to ask the Lord to certainly bless him and use him here. And church, as I pray out loud, I certainly want y'all to be praying in your hearts for Brent as he serves. We're grateful that the Lord is bringing men to serve, and we certainly want to honor that and make his job and role a joyous one here at Pine Grove. So why don't y'all join with me in prayer? Father, we are grateful. We're grateful that you're a good God. We're grateful for the gospel in our lives. We're grateful that Christ has come and lived a life and died in our place, and that by faith and repentance in him, Lord, we can know you in a saving way. We're grateful for the gospel tonight as it brings us together from all the corners of the world right here at Pine Grove Baptist Church. And we also gather tonight, Lord, and we recognize that you are calling men to lead your church. They're not to lord over your church. They're not to be difficult men. They're to be shepherds at heart. Shepherds who protect the flock. Shepherds who serve the flock. And Lord, I pray for Brent Shumpert tonight. I'm grateful for his track record of service to the church here at Pine Grove. And I pray that you will use him to continue to do your work here at Pine Grove. Lord, this is not our church. It's not Bud's church. It's not Brent's church. It's not the deacon's church. It is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we submit to him. And as we gather tonight to ordain a man into ministry to serve your church, we recognize your lordship. And we recognize that you are the master of the church. And we simply want to follow your playbook, your rule book that we see laid out in Scripture for how the church is to be led. And so, Lord, I pray for Brent tonight. I pray that you will continue to teach him the truths of Scripture. I pray that you will make him a gentle man, a man filled with patience, a man who is above reproach, a man who has a good reputation in his community. Lord, I pray that you will give him eyes only for his wife, that he will be a great father, a great husband, that he will lead his children and his wife to grow in the faith. We pray for his precious girls tonight, that as they see their dad being set apart from ministry, Lord, that you would begin to implant the gospel into their lives. Help them to see that it is a good work that their daddy wants to do to serve your church. And Lord, I pray for Brent. Any sin, any temptation that comes into his life, Lord, I pray that he will repent and return to obedience. I pray that you will keep his heart pure, that you will help him to pursue holiness in all things. And Lord, I pray for your church tonight. I'm grateful for Pine Grove Baptist Church. I'm grateful for the example that this flock sets day in and day out with their obedience to your commands. I'm grateful for the love that this church has for one another and for you. I'm grateful, Lord, for the work that you're doing here in our midst. You are helping people grow in their faith. You're bringing people to Christ. And you're bringing believers from all over to fellowship here with us at Pine Grove. Lord, we're grateful. We're grateful that you're a God who has not forgotten your church here at Pine Grove. And we're reminded of that tonight as you have brought another man to serve your church. And so we're thankful in our hearts, Lord. We want to be a church that's a pleasing aroma in your nose. We want to be a church that you can look down upon and see as a great example of what it means to serve Christ and to preach the gospel to the world. So, Lord, make us that church. And, Lord, use people like Brent and the deacons that are here, down here now, to serve the flock. Help us to be humble men, kind men, and help us to be men of your word who see your word as the authority in the church and the authority in our lives. We're grateful for tonight, Lord. We're thankful for this family. We pray that you will bless Brent and Brooke and Ellison and Oakley. Lord, help their ministry here bring sinners to salvation and help their ministry here encourage the saints. And we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Y'all can make your way back. Love you, brother. Yeah, he's over 40, so his knees popped. And so it's just part of it. The food is ready. We got one quick business item we need to handle. We are approaching a new Sunday school year, and so every August we kind of affirm our teachers, our church. There's a list back there on the back table we put back there Wednesday. They're on the screen. All these people have agreed to serve the church. I'm going to call Tim up. If you have questions, I don't think he's going to read out the names. They're available. But if you have questions about any of those names, we'll certainly entertain them now. But these are the list of people that are going to serve the church next year. Tim's going to call us up as the chairman of the deacons, call us to order. We're going to have a quick affirmation vote of these people. And then Tim's going to pray over our food, and we're going to do what we do best. We're going to food and fellowship. That's us. And so, Tim, if you'll come up.